I invite you to return to that passage we read earlier in Mark's Gospel. You will find our text there in verse 36, where we have recorded for us in the Word of God, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" For the remainder of our time this morning, I wish to meditate on that text and to bring one or two things to your attention. In my introduction, I fully acknowledge that this is a very hard subject and a very hard message that I'm bringing to you this morning. I fully acknowledge that, and maybe some of you, once you hear what I have to say, will question, why would I bring a message like this to a congregation or any congregation in this day and generation? What do I mean by that? Well, you will acknowledge and admit that the Christian church in this land is not exactly flourishing. We do not have bulging congregations. There are plenty of empty seats here. There are multitudes who could be here who are not here. And this kind of message that I'm going to bring to you today is not an easy message. It's not a very palatable message. It's not a message that will go down well with flesh and blood. It goes against our grain. These are things that I will say that you will not like. Nevertheless, I do not apologize, because I believe it is an authentic word from the Word of God. You will notice there in verse 34, I want you to notice this, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples," Jesus had been speaking to his disciples previously, but as he was so popular in this part of his ministry, there was always people hanging on to him wherever he went. And he was speaking to his disciples primarily. But what he was about to say now was vitally important, that he wanted not only his disciples, but all the people to hear what he was about to say. He did not want to say what he said in isolation. He wanted all persons to hear what he wanted to say. And what he was talking about was the terms of discipleship. And what he was saying here, he was talking to his disciples. He was talking to them, but he was also including all who were within earshot of him. "Come and hear this. This is important. I want all my disciples and my would-be disciples to hear this. This is absolutely important and vital." You see, my friends, Jesus would have us know the terms of discipleship before we embark on discipleship. He would have us know this. He does not want us ignorant. He wants us to know what lies ahead of us. And he doesn't want to take anyone on board on false pretenses. He would have you know what is required. I have entitled my sermon, "Lose Your Life and Save Your Soul." That is what Jesus is talking about here. He says to them, in some manner, in some respect, you must lose your life in order to save your soul. And as I said, this is hard for flesh and blood, but this is absolutely vital. You must lose your life in some manner, in some respect, in order to save your soul. He had just warned them, and he had just told them that he himself was going to go to Jerusalem, and he was going to be rejected, by the elders, by the scribes and the Pharisees, and he was ultimately going to die on Calvary's tree. He had warned them this was coming. And we know the incident. Peter took him aside and said, "Far be it from thee to suffer." And Jesus says to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man." Peter wanted to take Jesus away from the cross. It wasn't to be that way for you, Master. You are not to lay down your life, Master. There must be another way. But he says, no, it had to be this way. And he warns them that they too, in some manner and in some respects, have to lose their lives as he did. Oh, I'm not saying they all had to go to the cross. I'm not saying they all had to lose their lives physically. I'm not saying that at all. The Bible doesn't teach that. But it does teach us that our lives as we know it, before we embrace Christ, must change when we follow the Savior. We must lose our lives. And Jesus says that to his disciples, to those who were close to him, who spent 3 years with him, and to those who were on the outside, on the circumference, who were maybe half interested. Hear this. If you're to be my disciples, you must lose your lives. Friends, I'm sure that on some occasions in our lives, we have all entered into contracts that seemed good when we first looked at them. I'm thinking of maybe a mobile phone contract. We see all the advantages. You get this and you get that and you get this and you get that. And you say, yes, that's ideal. That's the kind of contract I want. But when the phone comes and you read the small print, and maybe the contract is just not quite what you wanted, and if you break that contract, you're penalized quite heavily. Or maybe it's a mortgage you've entered into, and you've seen the payments, the monthly payments, £400 a month. Oh yes, I can afford that. But something comes in the way, unemployment or sickness, and you cannot meet the contract. You cannot meet the mortgage, and you're having difficulty, and you've regretted entering into this contract. Well, Jesus would have us know, before we embrace him, before we follow him, the worst possible case scenario. That's what he presents here. It is the worst possible case. He is saying to them and to us, but in effect, follow me, and you could well lose your life physically. He is telling them. He would have them know that. This is the worst possible case, that you could lose your life. Now, as I said, you may find this message very hard, and you may say, this is not a message to encourage the church. This is not a message to bring new disciples into following Jesus Christ, is it? Friends, we want disciples, but we want to tell them the truth. We want to lay it before them that salvation and all that it entails, forgiveness of sins, joy and peace with God is before all of us. And we will tell that to whatever audience we have. We will say that, whether it be 10 people in front of us or 100,000, we will tell them all that if they come to Jesus Christ, they will have their sins forgiven, and they will know peace with God. They will know joy unspeakable in their hearts. They will have heaven on earth here and now. And they will have joy in eternity for all time. All eternity. That's what's offered to all who will come to Christ. But we will also tell them, there is a cross to carry. And you must deny yourself. We will present the full-orbed gospel. and we will not hide anything back from it. For that's the gospel that Jesus presents. It is a gospel that will save your soul. It is a gospel that will satisfy your soul. But it's a gospel whereby you must lose your life in some respect. So let us meditate on this text. When he says to them, to encourage them to lose their life in some respect. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Maybe there were some who were dithering, who were halting between two opinions. He had spoken some hard things. Were they now going to go back on him? Were they going to abandon Christ? To them, to those who are halting between two opinions, he says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? First thing I want us to notice from this text is, we cannot gain the whole world literally. We cannot gain the whole world literally. Jesus says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? I do not believe that Jesus is thinking for 1 minute that it is possible to gain the whole world. I do not think he's talking about that at all. But, if it were possible, if it were possible to gain the whole of the world, then and lose your soul in the process, it would be an unequal bargain. That's the message he wants to present to us. If it were possible, if it was possible to get all the money, all the wealth, all the possessions, all the honor and all the glory of this world, if it were possible to have all of that and then lose your soul, you would have had a poor bargain. You would have had it. And you would be lost. And all that you've enjoyed in this world for 60, 70, 80, 90 years, what would it compare to losing your soul for eternity? However, what I do think Jesus is meaning is perfectly possible. What I mean is, it's perfectly possible for us to get, in a measure, all that the world can offer us. And that's what I think Jesus is talking about. We cannot get the whole world literally, but we can get all that the world can offer in a measure. And I put it to you, my friends, as you look at your own lives today, there are some people here, possibly, who have all that the world can give them. They have everything. They have a measure of health. They have a measure of wealth. They don't need to worry about where their next meal is coming from. They don't live exorbitant lives. If they want something, they can go out and buy it. They have all they want. They have a home. They have a wife, a husband, family. They have children. They have education, health, happiness, money. They have, in a measure, all that the world can offer them. And if they need anything, as I said, they don't live extravagant lives. They don't have 6 or 7 cars. They don't have foreign holidays every 3 or 4 weeks. But nevertheless, they do have, in a measure, all that this world can offer them. And to these people he says, what if you have all of that? What if you have all of that and yet lose your soul? What profit is that? What profit is there in that? There is no profit, as you know, because the time will come when we will go the way of all the earth, and all our possessions, all our wealth, All our honor, all our prestige, all that we hold dear in this world, we will leave. And we will go the way of all the earth. And we can take nothing with us. And my friends, if you're seeking to amass the things of this world and you're not caring about your soul, then take heed. And realize you are making a poor bargain if you are putting the things of this world before the things of your soul. The second thing I want us to notice from this text is the value of your soul. I'm quickly trying to count how many people are here. 50 people perhaps here. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But there are 50. 50 priceless, precious souls here this morning. Now we know we use that word quite loosely. We say of this picture that's in the museum. It's been painted by some famous artist, and we say it is priceless. My friends, it is not priceless. If someone came along with an appropriate amount of money, whether it be 20 million or whether it be 100 million, that picture would go from the wall to whoever wanted to buy it, who was prepared to put up enough money to acquire it. But as I look out here this morning, what I see before me is priceless souls. And I say that because the Word of God tells me and it tells you that you have something that is absolutely priceless. We live in a day and generation when people are not thought much of, especially older people. It's throw them in a home, get them out of the way. We don't want to look after them. Friends, you indeed are priceless. You have something that is absolutely priceless. You may not have money in your bank. You may not have a home or a car. You may live alone and you may think not much of yourself. But start looking at your soul through the Word of God. And it tells you and it tells me that you have something priceless. And that's what Jesus says. And, you know, He knows exactly what He's talking about. Because He is the one who has redeemed souls, and He is the one who has made the world. Therefore, He is an authority on this subject. And He says, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? He who created the worlds and He who redeems souls says that the soul is more valuable, it is more precious, it is more priceless than all of the worlds put together. And my friends, if the soul be lost, it be lost forever. Think on that for a moment. If the soul be lost, it will be lost forever. There is no hope of recovering a lost soul. There is no hope. It is lost forever. And that's why He says you must lose your life in order to save your soul. And the third thing I wish to draw from this, any man may lose his soul. Any man. There are different ways to lose your soul. A man may lose his soul by loving sin and cleaving to the world. He may win the world and he may get all that the world can offer. But in the process, he may well lose his soul because he clung to sin. He would not let go of sin and he loved the world. And if there's any here today who love their sins and who love the things of the world, then you are in danger of losing your soul because you will not give up on these things. You will not forsake your sins and call upon Jesus Christ. For he is the one who it is said of, Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. He will not save his people in their sins. They must forsake their sins. And you may lose your soul in a variety of ways. You may lose it by clinging to sin and clinging to the world. You may lose it, secondly, by following false religion. Isn't that what happens to multitudes today, not only in our own land, but in other lands? They will gather in places of worship like this, and they will hear absolute nonsense, and they will not hear the word of God. They will hear a bit of this and a bit of that, and they will poison their own souls because they will not come and hear the authentic word of God, and they will not submit themselves to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Instead, they will gather together and hear what their ears want to hear. They will hear smooth things. They will hear that everything's all right with them. And that is why he tells us we are to be careful of what we hear. And we can ruin our soul by attending places of worship, but by not heeding the word of God and by not submitting to that precious and authentic word. And a man may lose his soul by rejecting all the means of grace and refusing to accept Christ. In this church, we preach Jesus Christ. We preach him as the Savior of sinners, the one who will save your soul. And we set him forth to you week in and week out. And you are urged to come and embrace and to follow him, whether you be young or whether you be old, whether you be rich or poor, educated or uneducated. The call goes out, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the gospel invitation that you've heard and heard and heard. And you know that Christ is the only Savior. He is the one who came from heaven. He is the God-ordained Savior. But a man will lose his soul if he will not embrace Christ. There is no hope. As the Apostle Paul says, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? There is no other way. There's no other terms offered to mankind. It is only in and through Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, he says. And friends, you need to know that if you neglect and despise Christ, there is no hope, and you will lose your soul. Friends, I remember my own conversion. I remember that the night when I embraced Jesus Christ, when I bowed the knee to him. I'm not sure how theologically accurate this is, what I'm about to say, but I'm relating to you my experience. I felt that if I was on the brink of eternity, I felt as if heaven and hell were before me. I felt that if I did not embrace Christ, if I did not call upon him there and then, it was a lost eternity for me. That is the way it was for me. For years and years and years, I had resisted Christ. I had heard the gospel as you have heard the gospel. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was lost and undone. I knew that if I died the way I was, that I was going into hell for eternity. I knew all these things. And God was speaking to me, not every day, not every week, I'm not saying that, but he spoke. And on many occasions, I would refuse him. But I came to my point in my time when I realized it was heaven or hell. This is it. Where am I going to spend eternity? And if you reject Christ, there is no hope. There is no other door of salvation. A man may lose his soul by not denying self. There's another way. You know, salvation is undoubtedly all of grace. It is offered freely to the chief of sinners, without money and without price. And that message must go forth. It doesn't matter the audience. If I was speaking to notorious prisoners who had committed great crimes, I would tell them exactly the same, that they must come to Jesus Christ. And if it was my privilege to address royalty, or politicians, or judges, or ministers of the gospel, I would say exactly the same, that you must embrace Jesus Christ, and salvation is offered freely to all if they will but come to Christ. And if they come, they will know the joy of their sins forgiven. They will know what it is to have peace with God, to have a cleansed conscience. These are things that I would teach and that I would preach without fear or without favor. But I would also tell them that if they are to embrace Jesus Christ and if He is to be their Lord and their Savior, they must deny themselves. And they must give up their life of sin. And they must take up the cross. And they must follow Christ. Christ cannot be just your Savior. He must be your Lord. He must be the King in your life. And what He says, you must do. He demands obedience. Salvation's to all. But only those who will deny themselves. Only those who will war the good warfare. Only those who will fight the good fight. Only those who will take up their cross and be identified with Jesus Christ shall know what it is to have their sins forgiven. Friends, if we are to do anything in this world, in this life, it requires exertion. It requires effort. It requires work. There are young people here. They're possibly thinking of their education, their higher education. Maybe they want to be doctors or nurses or dentists. I don't know. But whatever they want to do, they will have to work for it. They will have to put in time, maybe some money, effort, energy, work, dedication. That is what is required if we're to do anything in this world, in this life. How do we think we're going to get to heaven? It will require work. It will require effort. It will require dedication. It will require enthusiasm. It will require our all. How is it we think we're going to stroll into heaven? Not so, my friends. The Word of God tells us we must deny ourselves. And we must follow Christ. And whatever comes in our way, in the path of duty, if we're doing it for Him and for His cause, then we are to take up that cross and go forth. Go forth and deny ourselves. Fourthly, man cannot save his soul. He cannot save it. This is probably just a bit of repetition, but Christ alone can do that. And this message needs to go out time and time and time again. For we all think that we can do so much in this technological age. We think that we can do so much. We think we're the masters of our own destiny. Not so, my friends, regarding our souls. We cannot save our souls. Only Jesus Christ can save our souls. Only Him. And my friends, if you have committed your soul to Jesus Christ, then sit easy. Sit easy. Sit and bask and dwell on this fact, that if Christ has saved your soul, then your soul is saved indeed. Saved now, saved for eternity. He is the Saviour who is able to save to the uttermost. He is the one, as Isaiah said, who is mighty to save. And who else can we commit our souls to but to Jesus Christ? This is what Paul says. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Here was Paul in prison, in chains. From a worldly point of view, what a waste of a life, Paul. Where's your Savior now? Look what's happened to you. You've been beaten, despised, rejected and hated. The death sentence is over you. You're in prison in a hovel. Paul says, I am not ashamed. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. He knew His body was on its way out, as it were. But His soul was safe and secure in Jesus Christ. And finally, and fifthly, and possibly the most importantly of all, you, all of you here, are accountable for your own souls. I want you to understand this, and I want to impress this upon you, that when you stand before Jesus Christ, there will be no excuses that day. There will be no excuses. You will be accountable for your own soul. You cannot blame the minister or the preacher. You cannot blame your teachers. You cannot blame your parents. You cannot blame your environment. You cannot blame your education or anything. All of these factors may contribute, I admit. For instance, you could sit under a minister from which you've never heard the gospel. Now, I know that is not the case in this pulpit. But you may well sit under, as multitudes do, they sit under a minister and a ministry where the word of God is not proclaimed. They never hear that they're sinners and they need a Savior. They never hear the Word of God. It's never opened up to them. It's never applied to them. But nevertheless, on that day, there will be no excuses. The fact that you didn't hear the gospel or you heard a different gospel will not matter. You, my friends, are accountable for your own soul, as I am accountable for my soul. And my friends, you need to be jealous and zealous in this regard about your own soul, your soul. And you need to realize that you will give account not for your neighbors, not for your families, but your own soul ultimately. Yes, I know ministers will give account of their flock and how good they've been and how faithful they've been. And parents will be judged according to what they've done and said about their children. I know that. That is true. But that will not excuse any individual. Young people will be accountable for their own souls. Older people, no matter their experiences, no matter what has happened in their lives, they will stand before God and they will give account of their own souls. And what have they done with the gospel? And what have they done with Jesus Christ? So what about it this morning? How is your soul? How is it? Do you realize it is something precious? Then if you do, then my friends, you must go to Jesus Christ and call upon Him that He would save your soul. Save your soul. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The simple answer to that question is there will be no profit. There will be no profit. Therefore, call upon Jesus Christ. Now, while it is the day of salvation. And Jesus says, all the Father gives to me shall come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Amen.